Facebook wants to get into a new line of business, cryptocurrencies. The world's biggest social network announced Tuesday plans to roll out a digital coin called Libra, which it hopes to have up and running in the first half of next year. There is a noticeable difference between Libra and Bitcoin, the world's most popular cryptocurrency. Facebook has set up a network with 28 partners, including MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, and Uber, to oversee Libra. Meanwhile, a subsidiary will control a digital wallet called Calibra that will use Libra to make payments and purchases through Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp.
After electric cars, planes could be switching to battery power too. Israeli startup Eviation this week unveiled its Alice business aircraft at the Paris Air Show. It will be able to fly 9 people over 600 miles on a single charge. On Tuesday, Eviation said the plane would enter service in 2022 with U.S. firm Cape Air.
Turkish drilling ship the Fatih has been anchored off the west of Cyprus since last month, while in diplomatic terms, ploughing into a storm. In dispute are natural gas resources in the eastern Mediterranean. Turkey says some fall into its jurisdiction, a claim fiercely denied by Cyprus, along with ally Greece, who on Tuesday were reported as heaping pressure on the EU to take action, with a pledge from Turkey's energy minister that, quote, Turkish naval forces will respond to any harassment.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's June 19th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We have a good broadcast for you this morning. Hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. We'll talk about some transportation issues in Chicago. Mary Wisniewski from the Chicago Tribune will be with us first off this morning. We'll bring Mary in a few minutes. Some areas of the city have some transportation deserts where it's really hard to get around. And we'll talk to Mary about some of the areas that maybe could get some attention soon. A little bit later in the program, John Challenger of Challenger, Gray, and Christmas will be here. Companies we've been telling you over and over and over are hiring. But it's getting really difficult to find good candidates and find employees for the right jobs. John Challenger will be with us from about 5:38 on this morning. So stay tuned for that and the latest news, weather, sports, traffic, and more as we move through the hour here on The Opening Bell on this Wednesday. First, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The Opening Bell rings on Wall Street today after the Dow closed up more than 350 points yesterday. The Dow was up nearly 356 points. The Nasdaq gained 109. The S&P 500 rose nearly 28 points. A strong day yesterday on the markets. This morning, there's a little weakness, though. Markets are flat. Futures markets are flat. Dow, Nasdaq, S&P futures all in the red just a little bit, or just flat on the Nasdaq, for the Nasdaq as an example. And in Europe this morning, markets are generally in the red as well. In London, Germany, and France, off anywhere from 0.25% to 1/3 in London. And in Asia, markets in the mix as well, with Hong Kong higher by nearly 1%, up 271 points. In China, up just a fraction. In Tokyo, down nearly 0.75%. The Nikkei ending at about 151 points lower. And oil is trading at $53.82 a barrel, which is off about 8 cents. A couple of stories as we begin today. Stock markets, as we have shown you, are subdued. Investors are looking ahead to U.S. Federal Reserve policy notes coming later today. The central bank expected to indicate it would cut interest rates in the coming months. The Fed isn't considered ready to start reducing rates now, but likely coming next month. The announcement coming at 1 o'clock Chicago time, and the Federal Reserve Chairman having a news conference a little shortly after the announcement. As it ends its latest policy meeting, the central bank expected to signal an inclination to ease credit within the next several months. A good likelihood of that in July, and then again later in the year. What it won't likely do is indicate exactly when it might happen. But again, the betting is on the next months or so. You heard in the opening montage, Facebook launching its cryptocurrency, Libra. Facing almost an immediate backlash, the company plans to launch that new global cryptocurrency called Libra after linking with 28 partners like MasterCard, PayPal, and Uber, but no banks are part of the group yet. Facebook also created a subsidiary called Calibra, which will serve as a digital wallet to save, send, and or spend the Libra currency. California Congresswoman Maxine Waters called on Facebook executives to testify before Congress and to stop development of the platform until lawmakers can approve the project. Waters says Facebook is continuing its unchecked expansion and extending its reach into the lives of its users. Google is getting into the home building business with a $1 billion investment in Northern California's Bay Area. The CEO of the company announced yesterday the tech giant will spend nearly $750 million to develop land owned by Google into housing in the South Bay. The other $250 million will be used as seed money to spur development of more affordable housing in the Bay Area. It is seen as likely a blueprint for other similar developments around Google properties around the country. Let's begin this morning with transportation in Chicago, areas of the city with transportation deserts that could really use some attention in terms of getting around. Mary Wisniewski is transportation reporter at the Chicago Tribune and is with us this morning. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We often hear about food deserts where there are no grocery stores. Reading your writing about the transportation desert, I think most people will say, yeah, I've been in one of those. Talk to us a little bit about how big these are.
Sure. Well, what we're talking about is places where it's just difficult to get around unless you have a car, and sometimes it's difficult to get around with a car. And the areas that I wrote about are the south, far south and the southeast sides of Chicago. Pullman, Hegwisch, Riverdale. The issue with these areas, they have a lot going for them. There's the Pullman National Monument down there. There's the port. There's the Big Marsh Bike Park. There's a new factory for CTA rail cars. And you know, there's also talk about putting the casino down there. But because there's a lot of heavy industry and there's Lake Calumet, there's Bishopport Freeway, there's a lot of trucks going back and forth between factories. And it's difficult to get around by walking or biking or using public transit. And the CTA Red Line stops at 95th Street, but the city keeps going until 130th and beyond, so that it's sometimes it can take hours for people to just go a few miles.
Yeah, it's especially as you mentioned, if that's going to be the site for the casino or the possible site for the casino, there has to be some thinking going on somewhere around about what kinds of transportation fixes might be appropriate.
Right. And, you know, there's also, I don't know if people have gone to Big Marsh Park, but they have a bike park there where they have ramps, they have all sorts of fun things, and it's very popular for people who want to do recreational biking, mountain biking. But the irony is that it's very difficult to get there by bike. So you have to, you know, pile your bikes into a truck or a car and take them over there. So some residents in the area, some advocates are proposing some different fixes.
Give us a sense of what some of those might be. Will it be a mix, do you think, of some of the things that are missing? Bike, transport, CTA, just better car access, maybe?
Well, one of the things would be a side path along East 130th Street. If you go at 130th Street now in this area, you know there's only a few little sidewalks, or there's no sidewalks, and it's a very busy street. There's a lot of trucks, and you know people are walking along the side of the street, and there's glass, and there's you know tires strewn around, and so this idea is it would be about $1.9 million. Just build a path for bikes and walking between Indiana and around the area at Riverdale and Elko Gardens, so that people have a way of getting around. Another thing that could be possible is maybe reducing the amount of lanes on Torrance Avenue and building a bike, or at least building a bike lane there. Another fix would be maybe having some kind of bike path along the north end of Lake Calumet. There's an area there that already has a path, and the idea is, well, maybe we can build this, you know, something for bikes in order for people to get from Pullman to Big Marsh Park.
Go ahead.
Well, the biggest thing that's being proposed, and this has been talked about for years, is to have a pedestrian and bike bridge over the tracks between Burnham and Hegwisch, down around the Hegwisch train station, because people can wait for, you know, 20 minutes to over an hour there waiting for freight trains to go by. And this would allow people to cross the tracks, and it would be a great link between, you know, along the Burnham Greenway Trail.
The biking is great. That would be super. And the idea that we would have more of that is I don't think anybody would be against that. On the flip side of this, what if you're going to have to get people to and from a potential casino and other development down there, you might need more than that, right? So what, maybe extending CTA, or is that not even being talked about?
Well, it is being talked about. The CTA is planning to extend the red line from 95th Street to 130th Street. The problem is that there's not money for that right now. That would be cost $2.3 billion, and some of that, of course, would have to come from the federal government. And so, you know, there's, you know, that money is not there yet, but the CTA is planning that and planning. They've already figured out a route for that. So, you know, we're waiting for that to happen. But in the meantime, there's some, you know, some of these other fixes are being proposed because they're smaller and they might be a little bit more doable with money from the new state capital bill.
Yeah, and the bike path especially is something that you could get done pretty quickly.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, a bridge over railroad tracks is something that would take a little longer. But for that one, you know, they think the county thinks it does have, they will be able to put together the money for that. And so construction for that could start as early as 2022.
Mary's been writing about transportation deserts in the city of Chicago, mainly on the south side and also on the southeast side. Mary, I want to get back to our conversation here. We're focusing on areas around Lake Calumet and the Pullman area down south. One of the interesting things I think about the story is this notion of a road diet, where there are just too many lanes of a road. That's something I haven't heard before.
This is a concept that, you know, when you take a road that is pretty wide but doesn't get a whole lot of vehicles, maybe it gets about less than 25,000 vehicles a day under the definition from the Federal Highway Administration, local you know, builders can put it, a road diet would be to reduce that from maybe four lanes to two lanes and turn one of those lanes into a protected bike lane or to a protected walking lane, or some kind of separated lane, so that there will be less cars, but it will be a safer road. For this idea, there's a little bit of controversy. The alderman for the area, Susan Sedlovsky Garza, is skeptical about the idea because there's already a lot of truck traffic there, and she's afraid that moving, you know, there, it might not be a good idea to remove that lane of traffic, but she does like the idea of having a separated bike path there in Torrance.
Yeah, and also there's a nice notion, too, about possibly using tax increment financing district along that area or in the area, especially if that casino is going to be going in down there. That would potentially help with paying for some of these improvements.
Right. You know, one of the things that, you know, that transportation experts like to talk about is when you're going to put in something new, like when you're going to put in, you know, the Lincoln Yards development up on the north side, you have to think about the transportation consequences of doing something. And so, you know, okay, oh, we're going to do this, you know, let's figure out more transit for the area. Let's figure out more bike paths or more walking paths for the area, because we're going to have this increase in the number of people getting back and forth. And so we're going to have to think about what kind of congestion that's going to create and also how to make things better for the people in the area.
Yeah, and if that's the case, it feels like we might be getting a late start on this, especially if that's a casino, potential casino location in that area.
Well, you know, there, you know, the alderman is favors some improvements in there, including better bike connections to Big Marsh, maybe having a bike path along 122nd Street, and whether there's a casino or not, those transportation problems in the southeast side are going to exist. And one of the issues that they're, you know, that's going on in these neighborhoods is there's a lot of poverty there, so there's, you know, a lot of people without cars, and these are people who need to get, you know, people need to get around. They need to go to shopping, a big grocery store that had been on 130th Street for 60 years, a Rosebud Farm Stand closed down last summer. So people have to take two or three buses, if you can imagine, just to get to shopping. And so being able to, you know, have to have easier ways to cross the street, have easier ways to bike, or just, you know, see some better transit connections would really help people get around and make their lives better.
Yeah, and even just the bare bones of having a sidewalk to walk on, it doesn't, there's
right.
The picture that's posted with your story is a stretch, I think, of 130th Street where there's not even a sidewalk to walk on.
Right. Right, there's not, yeah, there, and that's it, 130th, and there are other areas too where there's no sidewalks. I was talking to a community activist down there, Dolores Lucas, from the Golden Gate neighborhood. And even while she was showing me 130th Street, she just missed sniffing at a broken liquor bottle that was lying in the grass by the road. So you can see the kinds of problems you would have just walking. And you can see like dirt paths that have been formed by people who are trying to walk on 130th Street because they want to walk. And there are other areas in the city where transportation is very easy. And so this creates, you know, problems for people who live there and, you know, and also with health problems, because if you can't get around by anything but car, you know, that's going to be a source of health problems, too.
You know, with this conversation kind of, and your story focuses on the far south and southeast sides, but I'll bet you when you start looking around, you're going to find other transportation deserts in the city, aren't you?
Definitely. Well, in the city and also in the suburbs, because the further out you go, the fewer transportation options you have, and the more necessary it is to get to have a car if you go out to places, you know, like, you know, way out in Montgomery or, you know, right now, one of the things that were in the state capitol bill is putting an extra $100 million into the idea of having Metra extended to Kendall County, where there isn't train service right now. And the issue is that people who want to qualify to buy a house, sometimes when, you know, you drive until you qualify, you go all the way out, you know, further and further into the suburbs. And the problem with doing that is you get a cheaper house, but then you have to have maybe 2-3 cars in your family in order to get around. And that creates a different kind of economic problem.
Yeah. Mary, thank you for being on with us this morning and sharing your reporting. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve.
Mary Wisniewski, transportation reporter at the Chicago Tribune. We're going to link out to her story as well in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains a little bit later on Wall Street. We're seeing an implied open likely on the Dow up about 26 points a little bit later. NASDAQ and S&P futures are generally flat this morning. Around the world, generally mixed numbers, although in Europe, markets are pretty steadily in the green. In Asia, markets are mixed. We're mixed as well with the Nikkei in Japan, the only of those markets to end the day lower. We had hoped to bring you a conversation this morning with John Challenger of Challenger Gray and Christmas, talking about a new survey of hiring. The company there has surveyed a number of HR professionals at companies. Over 82% of companies say they're hiring. Nearly 80% of them are having trouble finding workers. That according to the survey that was conducted in May and June of nearly 150 human resources professionals at companies of various sizes and industries nationwide. Obviously, there's a tight labor market, but the survey also suggests there are many opportunities. While there are many opportunities, employers are still looking for select skills and not being able to find qualified talent for those positions. One side note of this survey is that the companies are hiring a number of first-time employees. So entry-level employees, the number of those are high, 74% hiring entry-level employees. Good news for recent college graduates who are just starting out in their career. That report from Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. And now this from ABC.
From ABC News, tech trends. Decluttering your digital life could take some extreme measures. Cal Newport is the author of the new book, Digital Minimalism. He tells people who spend too much time on their devices to try a digital detox.
I recommend that you actually take a full 30 days to step away from the technologies in your personal life that are optional, the things you don't have to have just to keep the lights on.
He says the next step is evaluating which aspects of your devices you draw the most value from.
During that period, actually get back in touch with what you care about, what you actually like to spend your time doing, what your values are, and then when it's over, rebuild your digital life from scratch, just adding back in the tools or services you actually need.
And he actually put people through the digital detox.
One of the key things I discovered was those who are most likely to succeed in making sustainable changes were those who actually put in the effort during the 30 days to figure out what is it that I really want to be doing instead of looking at the screen.
With Tech Trends, I'm Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Hey, it's your money. With summer comes the threat of hurricanes, tornadoes, and wildfires. Entrepreneur and professional speaker speaker Dana Steele, creator of Your Daily Success Tip, says put this in your disaster readiness kit.
You should keep $51 bills just wrapped up in an envelope.
You may need them if the power goes out.
People aren't going to be able to make change. They may not be able to run credit cards, your ATM. Think of all of the ways you send money, get money, pay for things that require electricity.
And remember, small bills.
It's all about the Washingtons, baby.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Update on the China-U.S. trade relations, trade talks. It is likely that the two leaders, President Trump and President Xi, will meet at the G20 summit. That announcement was made yesterday by the president. We also learned yesterday that China is rolling out the red carpet for the rest of the world by lowering tariffs with other countries. The company, new research shows that the average tariff rate on U.S. goods from China jumped from 8% at the start of 2018 to 20.7% this month. China's average tariff rate on imports from all other countries fell from 8% at the start of 2018 to 6.7% last November. It has stayed at that level since then. China's move to lower tariffs on countries other than the U.S. has received little public attention, with much of the media coverage focused on what Beijing and Washington were saying and doing to each other. There's also a report this morning, new research from the AAA, the American Automobile Association. A new survey finds that alarming statistics on drivers' perceptions of the dangers of driving high. This comes as Illinois prepares for the legalization of marijuana. Nationally, an estimated 14.8 million drivers report getting behind the wheel within 1 hour after using marijuana in the past 30 days. The impairing effects of marijuana are usually experienced within the first 1 to 4 hours after using the drug. Marijuana users who drive or drive while high are up to twice as likely to be involved in a crash. The Foundation survey from the AAA found more than 13% of Americans viewed driving within an hour after using marijuana as only slightly dangerous or not dangerous at all, far more than other risky behaviors like alcohol-impaired driving, 1.2%, driving while drowsy, 1%, and prescription drug-impaired driving at 2.2%. So potential problems as Illinois prepares for the legalization of recreational marijuana in 2020. Let's check in on agriculture and commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The positive trade talk that did impact the stock market yesterday didn't really carry over into the grain market. Looking at a red screen at the close of the trade yesterday, with July wheat trading down 8.5 cents, July corn down 6 cents a bushel, July soybeans down 0.75 cents a bushel. So trade talk of improving relations between U.S. and China and moving on to another meeting didn't impact the grain trade. And they say that preliminary talks for the G20 meeting in Japan will begin today to set the agenda and the rules for this next discussion of trade situation. African swine fever still in the news. The government of Vietnam said yesterday it had culled more than 2.6 million pigs in order to try and contain the spread of the virus that has affected the livestock sector in their country. Still not able to get exact numbers on the culling number of pigs in China. And then I want to mention this, a new entry into the Guinness Book of World Records. A Texas Longhorn steer has set a new world record. The steer's name is Pancho Villa. He's a 7-year-old Longhorn on a ranch near Goodwater, Alabama. And according to the Guinness Book of World Records, he has the longest rack ever recorded on a steer. 10 feet. 7.4 inches from one tip to the other. That's a lot of longhorn. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, June the 19th. The latest look at weekly mortgage applications is due out. The lowest interest rates in nearly 2 years helped drive overall applications up nearly 27% in last week's report. Interest rates fell to 4.12% for the 30-year fixed mortgage. The mortgage applications report, again, coming out of mid-morning. The Federal Open Market Committee will announce its decision on interest rates this afternoon. The Fed policy-making arm wraps up its two-day meeting with a report on interest rates at 1 o'clock Chicago time. Fed watchers believe the central bank will leave rates unchanged. The Federal Reserve Chairman has a news conference scheduled immediately after that meeting, where it's likely he'll discuss monetary policy moving forward. There is some pretty good betting that next month we'll see a rate cut, perhaps, possibly even another rate cut before the end of the year. Also on the calendar today, the EIA Petroleum Status Report is due out. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, June the 19th.